Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, Alleluia. We read in the last verse of Romans 4, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And certainly we can say with the songwriter, Alleluia. Today from Romans chapter 4, verse 14, to the end of the chapter. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to all that was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Let's give thanks for these words and pray that we will be able to believe them rightly to the glory of God. And through believing, we will have what was promised to Abraham. And especially thinking of what Paul wrote later to the Galatians. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We do need that, and that's all we need. Christ. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ. We give thanks that there is a mediator between us and Thee. For, Father, without Him, we would know only Thy wrath, and help us to believe it, that none of us can stand before Thee by the way of Thy holy law. And as Paul could say, the law is holy and just and good, and I am carnal, sold under sin. Help us to learn it as Paul did, and to know it, to humble us, to take us away from any pride of thinking that we bring before Thee the deeds of the law and the fulfillment of it in our lives. Thou hast said also by the pen of Paul here and the psalmist earlier that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Help us to know it, Father, rightly through the Scriptures, and we pray for Thy Spirit to open our hearts to receive the Scriptures, to humble us, and not to do as many have done. All through Scripture, we read of those who stoned the prophets, who killed them, and who hated Thee, Lord Jesus, and killed Thee, wanting Thee to be crucified, because of what Thou didst say to them. And as Thou didst say, Lord Jesus, that before Thou didst speak and come, that they had no sin. But after Thou didst come and speak to them and of them, they had no cloak for their sin, and hated Thee without a cause. Help us to see ourselves with the guilty ones. And as Thou dost tell us, the natural man receiveth not the things of Thy Spirit, and the carnal mind is enmity against Thee. Help us to believe it, Father, and leave us not in our carnal mind. We pray for it for ourselves individually. We pray for it for our families. We pray for it for our particular churches. We pray for it for the nation. And especially, Father, at this time, when we see so many in our nation hating Thy ways and having turned from it so rapidly and so terribly, killing the unborn, the wrong marriages, the ways of immorality, and all the other ways of sin, the sin of pride, the sin of not wanting to submit to the authorities that Thou hast put over us. And now, Father, afflicted with this virus which has come to our nation as well as other nations, and we pray, Father, that it might soon experience Thy blessing and healing, and that we will be delivered from it as a nation. But also, Father, make us to know that we can be cursed, that we know not how it will turn out. When we think of the message given today that will be aired later, we do not know what will happen between this time and that. But Thou knowest. Thou knowest the end from the beginning. And we pray for Thy mercy. We pray that Thou wilt humble us as Josiah when he read Thy word and could say, great is Thy wrath upon us. We have sinned. Especially, he mentioned the fathers, but also he knew it for himself. And we give thanks for what we have there, an example, by then postponing the sin that would come, not taking it away entirely from Judah. Because of the innocent blood, thou couldst not pardon them. And help us to know, Father, that we have that cloud of thy wrath on our nation, that we have murdered the unborn by the millions. And we pray that we might rightly realize it in repentance and a godly sorrow, and as well as many other sins against thee and against each other. We pray, Father, that we might learn from thy word that we will have true repentance, a true godly sorrow, first of all in the beginning, and then again and again in the church with our daily sins. We pray that we might come to what we will read, Father, in this letter of Paul, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with thee through our Lord Jesus Christ, that as that was in the forefront at the time of the Reformation, it may come to the forefront in our churches again today, and that we might know the need of that and the blessing of that, and then for ourselves, and then that we preach it to the whole world. We pray also, Father, for giving thanks to the natural blessings that we have, the food and raiment that we have in abundance. We pray for healing in this affliction that has come, this virus that is spreading throughout our nation. We pray for healing also for sickness and injury for others that have many different sicknesses and injuries. We pray for them that they might have healing, and for those that will be left in their illness through life. Pray for them as well. Pray for those that will soon meet the end of, that they might be prepared for that hour through Christ. We pray for those in hunger, the homeless, the war-torn lands, the persecuted, the elderly, those in sorrow, all these different calamities that are there. Many, Father, that have calamities of damaged homes where there has been wind and flood and fire, all these in both our nation and throughout the world. We pray especially, Father, for those that are persecuted for thy name's sake, all through Christ. We give thanks in his name for blessings. Amen. As we look at these words again, we see very much, very plainly, that teaching, the just shall live by faith, as Paul began it in chapter 1. That was basically the watchword of Luther at the time of the Reformation. Also, the first verse in the next chapter, chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It was not only that teaching Luther believed and taught and practiced, it was also justification by faith alone, not works with it. And that brought about the separation in what was called those who protested against the teaching of faith and works for salvation, and they were called the protesters or the Protestants. And we need to see that today. We need to see that clearly God's word is the same as what Luther read it, what he believed, and long before that, as Paul himself believed it and taught it so wonderfully. And we need to, again, ask the question. As we read in verse 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. Not only an entire righteousness by the law, but if we have a partial righteousness by the law, then the faith of Christ and the true faith in him, as is given in Scripture, is also void. As we think of this, it is salvation by grace, and we must see that, as Paul wrote that later to the church at Ephesus, he says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There are those who want to say, well, salvation is the gift of God, but not faith. Faith also is part of that grace and is a gift of God. In Galatians 3, verse 23, we read, shut up unto the faith which is afterwards revealed. When it's revealed, it's given by the Holy Spirit. It's given in truth and power. And we might call it being justified, or being pardoned, or being saved, or being forgiven. All of that through faith. And brings us to that one blessed place, that needed place for lost sinners. where we must come, lost. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And God brings us there. Also, we read in Galatians, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And then, dealing with faith, that is revealed. And Paul doesn't bring that out quite as plainly as we saw it earlier in Romans 3, but he does say very straight that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, but for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And we have that here as well in this fourth chapter. It says in the 15th verse, because the law worketh wrath, where no law is, there is no transgression. And then, therefore, it is by faith. We have learned from the law our sin, if we are God's children. Every one of us must come that way, guilty. That is very plain in the third chapter, that all the world become guilty before God. All the world, Jew and Gentile, in the church and out of the church, all together, that every mouth may be stopped. Every one, no exceptions. There are sometimes like to say, well, we are exceptions when we're brought up in a Christian home. That is not an exception. It is every one guilty in the flesh until we are, by the Spirit, convicted, born again, made new creatures in Christ. Yes, those in the church may wash the outside of the cup better than those in the church, better than those outside the church, but inwardly the heart is the same everywhere. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Probably, sadly, more deceitful in the church than in the world. More able to hide our real wicked sins, our pride, our hatred. It's there. I've seen it myself. I've seen it in others. And it's there, sadly, for those in the church as well as in the world. When we think of it in the church, we can think of it as it was with Israel, with the Jews, time of John the Baptist. When he came, he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. He said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Sometimes we hear of what's called the Abrahamic covenant, as if those in that covenant are different and are blessed with knowing the way of God without having to be converted or born again. But Christ made that very plain also with Nicodemus and said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he reproved Nicodemus later. He says, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? John warned both the scribes, the Pharisees, the leaders. The Pharisees, the most strict sect of the Jews, we might call them the conservatives. The Sadducees, we might call the liberals. They were there together. And in Luke, we read, when he saw the multitude, he said the exact same words. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Oh, how sad, how terrible. If we only know it as the wrath to come. Terrible. Not know it in time. It will come on the day of judgment. It will come in our death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We need to know it now. We need to know it like we read from Romans 3, that every mouth may be stopped in time. That's why Christ said, strive to enter in. When once the Master has closed the door, you stand without, knocking. Lord, open. Too late. I never knew you. There will be those that do not think they need it now, but will know it when Christ comes again, or the day of their death. And that's why we need to warn, as John the Baptist did. Flee from the wrath to come. The Ephesians learn that that wrath was there now. That's why he said, children of wrath, even as others. Christ said to the Jews, even some who were described as believing on him. But then later, when he told them to continue in the word and to know more of the word to set them free, they said, we're not in bondage. And he told them, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. Those were Jews who said, we are children of Abraham. And so when we have this here, with much reference to Abraham and much reference to circumcision and the seed of Abraham, remember that that gave no place to those in the time of John the Baptist, had no place when Christ was preaching to them. He said, you say you are the children of Abraham, but Abraham did not these works and did not do what you are doing. Abraham, as we saw early in chapter 4, believed on him who justified the ungodly, as we read in the beginning of our message today. If you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Then, and then only. Not before that, but at that time, when we become Christ and Christ becomes ours. That is a must in life. We read it very plainly in the Gospel of John. After we read many other things in the third chapter of John, we read in the last verse of that chapter, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Believing anything other than the Son of God for salvation, for justification by faith, leaves us under the wrath of God. The wrath of God abideth on him. Other places we read, as again those Ephesians, children of wrath, even as others. Sometimes people want to say, those who are the elect, were always under favor of God and always were under the plan of God, but those there that were chosen in Christ, as we can read in Ephesians 1, before the foundation of the world, were described when they came to salvation as children of wrath, even as others, who also were described as walking according to the way of this world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation, I, you, and others. Have you learned it in repentance? And how we need it today. How we need a church in the nation that will be a salt and a light, that will not be lukewarm, or even worse, departing from the way of the justification by faith alone, and having a way of works. It was there before the Great Awakening. Jonathan Edwards preached against the way of works when he saw that many were trying to come in the church through that way. They had outwardly good works, and they accepted the doctrine of the church in general, but not in the narrow, straight way of salvation by conversion, by knowing their sin. I mentioned before of one pastor who was part of that, said I was more in love with my own works than with Christ. Many young people were brought into the church to live a better life and to sort of agree with the church, but it was more of a Laodicean state, thinking they were rich when they were still poor and wretched and miserable and blind and not knowing it. But many did come to know it when Edwards preached sermons like sinners in the hands of an angry God. They came to believe it. And then they could also hear another sermon. Safety, fullness, sweet refreshment in Christ. Oh, what a difference. under the wrath or in Christ, knowing God's love, knowing His reconciliation, knowing His forgiveness, knowing His justification by faith alone and faith as the gift of God, not of ourselves. And that bears out different places in Scripture, not only in Ephesians, where we read, not of yourselves is the gift of God. And as I said, some people want to say, well, salvation is a gift, but faith is something that we do. It is faith that we have, but it does not originate in us. Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, as well as the object. And we read in Romans 3, when Paul begins to teach again the way of faith, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God. And then listen to these next words, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe, for there is no difference, of Jesus Christ, as well as in Him. And we have the same thing in Galatians 2:16, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Also Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, that which is through the faith of Christ. So we have it in Ephesians 2:8, not as plain as in these other places, but it is the faith of Christ, who is, as Paul said to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that He is the author, the beginner, the prophet that teaches us the way of faith in God and Himself. And the way of God we must have as well as in Christ. As He said, this is eternal life, that they believe in Thee, the only true God. And we must believe in Him not only as the only true God, but we must believe the truth of God. God is sovereign. He's not a helpless God. I heard once over the radio, God is powerless unless you let Him. What a lie. I wouldn't be standing here today if God was powerless. He has the power to open our hearts. He has the power to convict. He has the power to stop and turn, and the power to save through Christ. How thankful we ought to be for that. As one wrote, if we don't want to submit to that, then the spirit of rebellion is still there. We're still rebelling against part of the character of God, who, as Paul will write later in this letter to the church at Rome, that He is the potter and we are the clay. And as he also writes, it's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And not only mercy, but grace, grace, great grace in Christ Jesus. It is great grace in Christ Jesus, and that's why we must proclaim, as we sometimes call them, the doctrines of grace, the doctrines of salvation by grace alone. And God's plan, God's beginning, God's doing, and God's finishing through Christ, the finisher of our faith.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise